I praise God for bringing us here today, bringing us here to pray and to sing and to give and to open God's Word, to fellowship. I'm very thankful for this Lord's Day to be with you all. Emily and I watched a man die yesterday. We stood in an intensive care unit and watched a man as his body shut down. A man that I've known for 17 years. He was 42, I believe. He didn't look much like the man that I knew or have known. His body was ravished from sin in his life. So looking at him was somewhat surreal, because it was a human being that was breathing his last. And yet, the body that I was looking at, all I could think about was his soul. I was up there for, I don't know, three hours. And all I could think about was that Shane died yesterday. And he has now faced judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. That's all I could think about. We're all going to die. Every single one of us, unless Jesus comes back while we're still living, I should say, but we're going to die. Our bodies are going to give out. And we are going to die. And because we're created with a soul, you know, I've watched animals die. It's different to watch an animal die. There's no soul. We have a soul. And we are all going to die. And when we die once, we are then going to stand in judgment in front of God. That's all I could think about yesterday. I spent about an hour or so with Karen, his wife, when I first got there. And as it became obvious to her from the doctors that Shane wasn't going to live, we talked about this some. We talked about the reality of the judgment that we all will have. Here's what else I came to realize. I never preached the gospel to Shane. And the thought of 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, when I was there. You know, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Sure, I had lived a changed life in front of Shane. He actually coached with me one year when I coached at Central. So I lived a changed life, and I spoke of the things of God. I don't think there's any question that Shane knew my life was different and knew of my faith. But never once did I preach the gospel to him. Romans 10:14-17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm not sure if Shane ever heard the gospel in his life. There was nothing about his life that would give evidence that he had been regenerated to repentance, to belief, to adoption as a son. Nothing about his life would appear that that had happened in his life. So I don't know if he rejected the gospel, but I do know this. He never rejected the gospel that I preached, because I never preached the gospel to him. He was laying there, and as Karen and I were talking, you know, she was asking the doctor, is there any way he could wake up just long enough for me to talk to him? So Karen wanted to talk to him, you know, to say her goodbyes or whatever she wanted to do. And I'm thinking, man, if he wakes up, God, I will preach him the gospel. Shane was living a life of sin that was literally destroying his body, and I was aware of it. And I never loved him enough to share the gospel with him. I didn't care enough about him to tell him the good news. I did with Karen yesterday, and I will continue in her life as long as I know her. Shane was a man I knew. I didn't know him really well, but I knew him well enough. I probably stood around. I was probably with Shane, I don't even know, 50 to 100 times in my life. And I have spent this morning seeking God's forgiveness for my unbelief and for my sin. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning to encourage us and to exhort us. Tyler, you will stand before God and be judged. Sarah, you will stand before God and be judged. Kenny and Linda, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Kelly, you will stand before God and be judged. Madeline, you will stand before God and be judged. Lee, you will stand before God and be judged. Gracie, you will stand before God and be judged. Kathy, you will stand before God and be judged. Bodie, you will stand before God and be judged. Matt, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Jade, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Shelley, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Eden, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Haven, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Caleb, you will stand before God and you will be judged. Annika, you will stand before God and be judged. Elin, you will stand before God and be judged. Sophia, you will stand before God and be judged. Ted, you will stand before God and be judged. Callan, you will stand before God and be judged. Ashton, you will stand before God and be judged. You will die. Veronica, you will stand before God and be judged. Burpo children, you will stand before God and be judged. You will. You will die. You will breathe your last. And you will either suffer the wrath of God for your sin, or you will be forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Whether you want to accept that or reject that, the truth is this, that you are sinners separated from a holy God. And you will die. And you will stand before God. And He will either see you and all your sin, and then banish you to hell for all eternity, where nothing but His wrath is poured out, or He will see you as He sees Christ, righteous and pure, and you will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Make no mistake. Please, listen. You will be judged. Everyone turn to Philippians. We're in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we're going to be verse 9 today. Remembering, this is the epistle, the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi was a church that was fairly mature, it would appear. It was a church that he was very close to, that was very much partnering with him in the gospel being spread. He's nearing the end of the epistle to the Philippian brothers and sisters. In the last few verses, he's been showing them how to stand fast in the Lord. He commanded them in verse 1 to stand fast in the Lord, and now he was showing them. And we come to verse 9 today. Philippians 4, verse 9 says this, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." The WEIST reads like this, "The things also which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things habitually practice, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul says, habitually practice these things. New King James just says, do these things. Do these things. It says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Before we consider what these things are, we're going to consider what do is. What do is. The Greek word for do here is praso. Praso. And it means to exercise, practice, to be busy with, to carry on. It means to practice. So, sometimes we hear of practice like practice your piano or practice your free throws. That's not how the word practice is being used here. You know how we hear the word, he has a law practice or he has a medical practice? He habitually practices law. That's the practice of law, the practice of medicine. So the way the word's being used here is something that's continuously and habitually done. Not something you just go do once a week like practice your piano. It's to do these things continually, to be busy with, to carry on as a continuous action. That's why WEIST translated habitually practice these things. This word pratso, it's used quite a few places, but in the New Testament, it's used in Romans 1, 28 through 32. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge..." So this is that thinking thing again, right? We're going to get to it lots today, I'm sure, but they didn't retain God in their knowledge. Because they didn't like to retain God in their thinking, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, gossips, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, also approve those who practice them. This unbelievers practice sin. They continually, habitually sin. That's what they do. They're busy sinning. That's what they're up to. That's what they practice. And as you look at this list, if I wanted to go look at this list and check them all off, I think I'd hit about all of them prior to Christ. I practiced all of those things, most all of those things, regularly. That's just who I was. It's what I did. It's what I was busy with. The word proso is in Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If these things characterize one's life, if this is what they practice, they will not go to heaven. Outside of Christ, this is what people practice. When Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," who are in the habit of sinning, missing the mark, habitually missing the mark. And until we, till God regenerates our heart, we only practice these things. And until our minds can be changed through God's Word, we have no choice but to practice those things. We practice whatever we know the most. In order to change our practices, we have to fight spiritually. And Paul is saying, practice, habitually practice these spiritual things. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." How do we fight? We fight by bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's how we fight. We fight by bringing every thought, which is what we've been talking about in Philippians, our thinking, being thinking through Scripture. That's how we practice. Otherwise, we are just going to practice the things that we always practice. And for those of you who aren't saved, you have no options but to practice sin. It's always available to you. In order to stand fast in the Lord, Paul says, we have to think through Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit that we habitually do the things the Bible teaches. Not to do what we've always done. Some of you have been, last week we talked about being on autopilot. Some of you have admitted, yep, I live my life on autopilot. Well, guess what? That doesn't bode well for your standing with God. Because you're practicing the same things you used to practice, and you're hoping for Jesus Christ on the cross to cover this sin so that grace could abound. I'll keep sinning. I'll just keep practicing what I've always practiced. I'll try to clean it up a little bit, tweak it up a little bit. Won't do it quite so bad. No more autopilot. Philippian church, Paul's saying, practice habitually practice the things that are spiritually pure so that you can stand fast. Habitually practice what God's commanded. Romans 12:21, Paul says to the Romans, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Believers are to overcome evil by habitually practicing what is good. We have to be disciplined and trained to habitually practice what is good, to overcome evil. We must change our practices. We are to put off our old practices and put on our new practices. Colossians 3:8-10. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. How do we put off the old man and put on the new man? How do we put off the old sinful man and put on the new righteous man? By changing our habits, by changing our thinking, based on what we learn from God. Here's what James says in James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you just hear the word of God, but you don't change your practices, you are deceiving yourself. We can't just hear the word of God and continue to practice the things we practiced. We can't go on autopilot because we're only deceiving ourselves. It makes no difference how much you know about God. It makes no difference how much scripture you can quote. It makes no difference how much you know about religion. It makes no difference how much you know about God's commands. If we don't habitually do them, then we are deceiving ourselves. Always growing in their knowledge. Always growing in their knowledge, but never coming. Always growing in their knowledge, growing in your knowledge of God, knowing more scripture. It doesn't make any difference if you don't change your practices. You're just deceiving yourself. In order to stand fast in the Lord, we can't just know the things of God. We are to do them. So Paul has said, do these, praso, habitually practice these things. What things? What things? Back to the start of this passage. Paul says this, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Where was a Philippian Christian to go to get information about how to live? Did he or she go to Scripture? All that was available was the Old Testament, and the Gentiles didn't even have that. So where did a Philippian believer go to learn, to see how to live? To gather information about how to live? Before the New Testament was written, where did they go? They went to Paul and the other apostles. They went to Epaphroditus and Timothy. They didn't have the New Testament to go to. Paul had written this just a few verses earlier. Another repeater he comes back to here. In Philippians 3:17, he said, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. The pattern of the things to practice in the time this was written was Paul and the others who walked that way. That was the pattern. So by observing and listening to the apostles and other godly people, they would gather and understand how to live out their Christian faith. They would hear the gospel. They would be granted repentance and they would believe. And then they would need to go live out their Christian faith. and they would go read their Bible. They couldn't. It wasn't there. They had no New Testament to go read. So they had to look at the apostles, Paul, Peter, Epaphroditus, Timothy, Silas, all. That's what they had to do. That was the pattern. Paul says, habitually practice the things you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Paul says, first word, manthano, to learn, to be taught. Paul says to the Philippians, do the things you heard me teach you. The things that I had taught you. The personal instruction that I had given to you. Paul says, do those things habitually. Next, paralambano. It means to receive from, to take. Paul tells them that they received not just Old Testament scriptural exposition, but they received direct words that God gave via Paul to them. They received these words. Remember, they didn't have this epistle. So they received, they didn't have this Bible. They had the epistle. They didn't have the Bible. So they received from Paul these instructions. Next it says heard. Akouo means heard, listened, received news about. Paul says to the Philippians, do the things you heard about me. Not just the things you heard directly from me. Not just what I taught you. But you've heard about my travels. You've heard about my faith. Do those things. Paul says, what you knew about my ministry and my life and my travels, do those things. Last, he said, what you see, have seen, eidon, to see, to experience. Remember, Paul was with them in Philippi for a while. They had watched his life firsthand. So Paul is telling them, look, all these things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, habitually do these things. Do these things. This is how the early church functioned. Acts 2:42. This is the early church. 3,000 people got saved at Pentecost, right? It says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. After Pentecost, new believers didn't have a Bible. New believers had to follow the doctrines or the teachings of the apostles, so that they could follow their teaching and reproduce it. The apostles themselves were divine truth. The apostles themselves were the deliverers of divine truth as they lived their lives and as they taught. And then what came to us was a compilation of the things that they wrote, empowered by the Holy Spirit that we now have. But at that time, it was the apostles themselves that were the givers of this divine revelation. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, listen to what he tells Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance. You, Timothy, have followed that. Down to verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul is telling Timothy to follow his pattern of life. Habitually do the things I have been doing, that I have been teaching, because you learned them from me, and I learned them from God Himself, Paul says. I learned them from God, and you learned them from me. Now do them. Paul had been in Philippi teaching with them, Acts 20:20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul had been from house to house and proclaiming the gospel and teaching publicly throughout Philippi. And he was now telling them, look, those things you learned, heard, received, and saw, do those. Do those. Do those things. Habitually do those things. You don't get to go out on your own and figure it out on your own. Do what I did. You know, again, it's like now. We all don't get to look at Scripture and make it mean what we want to make it mean and live it out in the way we want to live it out. Paul's saying the same thing. Look, there's one way to live. There's a way to do this. There's a way to live out your faith, and it's the way I'm doing it. Do it like I do it. Because I am the divine truth being revealed to you. God's using me for you to follow. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we thank God without ceasing. We also thank God without ceasing because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The early church received the word of God and the example of how to preach it and how to live it from the apostles, in this case from Paul. In order to stand fast, and we're repeating this, but I want us to understand this because then it transitions to what we're to do. In order to stand fast, Paul says, I'm showing you the way. In order to stand fast to promote the gospel, which is, by the way, as Paul writes through Philippians, which I'm going to remind us of today, the whole reason we're saved is for the perpetuation of the gospel. All of this, the whole reason that God saved us and then didn't take us up, saved us, is to perpetuate the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that I was, which I also received. So in other words, Paul says, I got this from God, and I gave it to you. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In order to stand fast, Paul says, stand fast in this perpetuation of the gospel. You've got to remember the gospel as it was preached. I learned it from God. You learned it from me. Now go out and do the same thing. Galatians 1:9. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Stand fast in the gospel. Stand fast in what I've taught you. In what you've learned, in what you've seen, in what you've received. Habitually do the things you have learned, received, heard, and saw from me, says Paul. God gave it to him and the early church as an example to follow. So God gave this to Paul and the early church was to follow that example. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, this is Paul, I urge you, imitate me. What I preach, how I live, the revelations I've received and given you, imitate me, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He was telling the church at Philippi to imitate him. To imitate the things he did and taught and gave them. What things specifically? So what are the things specifically? Well, we look back what we just read. Starting in Philippians 3. If you just turn back one page. Philippians 3, starting in verse 17. And I want everyone to listen now because this is what Paul was telling them through this letter. And this letter is now sitting in your lap. This is now what Paul is telling you. God is telling you through Paul, that letter sitting in your lap. It says this, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. And here's how you'll know them. They set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So Paul has said, look, I and the others are an example to follow. Because we're not like those people that set their mind on earthly things. We remember our citizenship in heaven, and you should too. And he says, therefore, in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, because you are citizens of heaven, because you have us as an example, because you're adopted children of God, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, thusly, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And then he's going to go on and say how to stand fast. Here's the things he just has told them that he now says in verse 9, do the things I've told you. And here they are. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So he says, be like-minded. Think like God, think like one another, and that you who are mature spiritually, you help people to do that. Then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Stand fast by rejoicing in the Lord. Joy in all circumstances. Joyful in our relationship with God that we've had through Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on around us. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Have people witness your lowliness of mind, your complete trust, men from men's Bible study, your complete trust in God. Not you needing to self-protect and self-assert. Let people see the lowliness of mind. If you're going to stand fast, don't be out there protecting yourself and your own interests, giving your opinions. You be out there letting people see the gentleness that you have, the meekness that you have, the lowliness of mind that you have to trust God. And only protect His Word and the Gospel. Don't worry about protecting yourself. He goes on. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, standing fast in the Lord, here's the things I've just told you. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. If you do worry or anxious about anything, pray. Pray with thanksgiving. That's what you're to do. You're to pray with thanksgiving. I've talked to some of you the last couple of weeks. Some of you are starting to do this, and it's God is guarding your hearts and your minds. Others, you still don't. You get anxious or worried, and you don't pray with thanksgiving, and then you sit in a chair in front of me and wonder why nothing's different. Because you're not standing fast and doing the things that Paul said to do. Be anxious for nothing. Pray thankfulness. And you will have a peace that will guard your hearts and your minds. And then he said in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on this thing, these things. He said, think! Think! Standing fast in the Lord requires you to think. And requires you to think through the truth of Scripture. It requires you to think through the praiseworthiness that God is. It requires you to meditate on those things. Have your life be governed by thinking through Scripture. Again, some of you have sat with me this week. And you're not dwelling on. You're in a bad place, you'll say. Or you're struggling, or you're whatever you're doing. And you'll come in and you'll tell me all the reasons you're struggling. And every one of them is thinking out of your feelings. It's not thinking through Scripture. So of course you're struggling. Of course you're sideways. Of course you're whatever words we want to use for our sin of not thinking through Scripture. Paul says, you need to think through Scripture, not by your normal patterns of thinking. And if you're going to stand fast in the Lord, here's the things you need to do. And he says, look, early church, mimic me. This is the things I do. Do what I do. Habitually do what I do. Church, early church, mimic Paul. Then early church, as they mimic Paul, others mimic them, all the way down to you and I. And this will continue until the Lord returns. But what we have is we have the Scriptures. We have the New Testament. We have God's revealed word to us, the Holy Spirit-empowered Word of God that we have to mimic and follow. Because Paul isn't around. But we have this. Here's how this started, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that you have heard from me, Paul says to Timothy, the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's what the pattern of the early church was, with nothing written until 100 years or so into it, the Bible was given. And now, all we have to do is have someone stand up here and reveal and open this Word and teach us this Word. And if we are saved, this will change our thinking. We won't think this is just Pastor Mike's opinion. We will hear it and we will mimic it, because this is the pattern of how we are to think and what we're to practice. Paul says this then. He makes a promise. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Just like he had just said in verse 7, and the peace of God. So the peace of God and the God of peace will be with us. Paul says, if you will stand fast in the Lord, if you will have godly attitudes, and you will have godly thinking that will lead to godly actions, and you will habitually practice these godly actions, then you will have the peace of God, and the God of peace will be with you. God will provide comfort and calm and tranquility no matter what's happening in your life. Listen, some of you don't experience that. And the reason some of you don't experience that is because you're not saved. You can't. But if you're saved, then you can experience the calm and the tranquility and the peace, the comfort of God, as you habitually practice the things that you've been taught. And here's a particular section of Philippians that you've been taught. Are you practicing those things? And Paul knew all about this peace of God. 2 Corinthians 11:23-33. This is Paul talking. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He says I'm a fool because he's speaking, he's comparing himself to other ministers of Christ, and he's talking about his life. So that's where he's sarcastic, saying he's a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant. Here you go. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. So Paul says I was beaten 5 times. Like we saw in the Passion of Christ, with a whip, a bullwhip, or one of those 9 cattails, whatever those are. He was beaten like that 5 times with 39 lashes, because the Jews thought 40 would kill you. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. This was just a sampling of what the Apostle Paul went through. None of us have suffered this kind of persecution because of our Christianity. None of us. And yet Paul had great joy and great peace. Why? Because of what he habitually practiced. And you're to practice the same things. Paul uses this term, the God of peace, throughout the New Testament. Romans 15:33. That should say 15:33 in your bulletin, not 5. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. He said to the Romans. Church of Thessalonica. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have godly attitudes and godly thinking that causes our habitual practicing of godly behavior, godly living, then the God of peace will be with us. And we will have the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds. We need to catch all of this. I'm going to read this again. I don't want anybody to check out. We're going to start in verse 17 of chapter 3 of Philippians. And I want to listen, because here's what I want for us today, beloved. See if you're listening to Paul. See if you're being obedient to the commands he's giving. See if this is true of your life. Check yourselves, beloved. Listen. Paul says this, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Okay? Who are you following? Are you following people that have their minds on earthly things, therefore you keep your mind on earthly things? Or are you following the example of Paul? Are you out there being Christ's ambassador? Are you concerned with the things of eternity? Who are you following? See, in my relationship with Shane for 17 years, I didn't follow the Apostle Paul. So I never preached the gospel to him. And here's the conviction that comes in my life. I find myself begging God's forgiveness for my unbelief. And by God's grace and by my effort, I won't live that way anymore. Yesterday, when I'm talking to Karen, her husband's dying, literally dying, and I'm talking to her about her separation from God. That's not thinking like the world, because that's not the right time. He goes on, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that might be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things to Himself." Question. Do you focus on Christ's return? Do you eagerly wait the Savior? That's what Paul says. Because we're citizens of heaven, we should eagerly await the return of Jesus Christ. We should want the end to come. And because we're eagerly anticipating, do we live our lives with that urgency as we run into people every day who are going to hell? What are we focused on? Then he says, "Therefore, because of what I just said to you, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown." Hey, you're saved. I know you're saved. You're my crown. I'm going to see you in heaven. "Thus, stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Now, here's how you're going to stand fast. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. How are you going to stand fast? You're going to think alike. You're going to think like God, so you're going to think alike. And if you can't think alike, then the mature believers are going to help you think alike.
It's not an option. It's a command. This is how you'll stand fast. This is what you're to follow. This is what you're to be doing habitually.
Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul says, are you joyful in all circumstances? Are you rejoicing? Or are you complaining and grumbling? If you're going to stand fast in the Lord, you need to rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. When people see you, do they see you standing to protect the gospel? Or do they see you standing to protect your way of life at the expense of the gospel? Do they see you interjecting yourself, or do they see you interjecting the things of God? What do they see? He goes on, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, not one little thing. And if you do, if you are, hey, the sin is not in your anxiousness about one little thing. The sin is if you don't now go do what I'm telling you to do, Paul says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look, I've had this discussion with some of you. The sin is not in the anxiousness. Now you go pray. Paul was anxious about, he says, I got this thorn. 3 times I went and prayed. How did he come out of that prayer? Oh, I got it. I need this in order for me not to be puffed up. So God, in my weakness, I'll be strong because of you. So keep it there. So he went into the prayer anxious. And he came out of the prayer like-minded with God. You may not go into the prayer anxious and come out of the prayer anxious and think, now you're in sin. You're not standing fast. And it's because you refuse to pray thanksgiving. I can't think of any. Of course you can't. Because all you can think of is your feelings. And Paul says no. Because he's going to now tell us, think. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think. Think. If you're going to stand fast in the Lord, you need to think. And you need to think through Scripture, not through your autopilot. And then he closes this section by saying this, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These things I just got done writing to you about. That you've heard and learned and you've seen me live it out. These do habitually practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I don't have any peace, Pastor. Well, then you're not saved. Or you're not saved and you refuse in your rebellion to live the way Paul says live. And you keep wondering why you don't have peace. And you keep wondering why you're still anxious. And you keep wondering why you don't seem to have joy. Can you imagine? See, here's my hope. My hope is that people would see my life. Karen, for instance. And she would see my joy. And she would see my peace. And my gentleness. And then what she would hear would be the gospel. Look, what are your actions? Are you following this? Are you following this model? Or are your actions driven by your old way of thinking? Are you still on autopilot? Then you're not standing fast in the Lord. Consider this today. We can't just keep hearing the Word of God and not doing it. Because we're deceiving ourselves. We can't just keep hearing the Word of God and not doing it. We are deceiving ourselves. That is directed to the people in here who believe themselves to be saved.
If you keep hearing the Word of God and you don't do it, and if you don't habitually practice, if your practices have not changed completely, see, I'm not perfect. And as Paul says, as we've talked about, I am straining and striving toward perfection that I will never reach on this planet. And you can follow that. So I'm not perfect, but here's what I know. I do not habitually practice the same things I used to habitually practice, not even close. I am a new creation. I habitually practice the things of God. And I way too often miss the mark. But I don't justify it. I don't argue about it. I see it. And I turn from it. That's what we have to do. We can't just keep listening, coming in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Friday and Saturday and listening and not changing. That's not standing fast in the Lord. True believers will habitually practice the things that the apostles practiced. True believers will habitually practice these things that the Bible says we'll practice. And the only way we're going to practice those is once we're regenerate is to meditate on this. Hide this in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. That's the only way. So now, reading your Bible has a purpose, doesn't it? Not just to check a box. You read your Bible to hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him. You don't just read your 10 list because that's what you're supposed to do and hope God will just, maybe He'll just show me something. No, you meditate on it. You think about it. You run your life up against it. And when your life doesn't match up against it, you change your life. You practice these things habitually. Beloved, mature Christians at all, but certainly mature Christians, don't keep excusing their sin. We don't think like we used to think. We don't be on autopilot and then claim grace. We don't keep the same practices we've always had and then count on the blood. We habitually practice the things that we are told every Sunday in here. And every time we read it, that's what we do. And when we miss that mark, we repent and we turn from it. And when we're anxious, we pray thankfulness. And when we're not like-minded, we get like-minded. We think like God, so we think like one another, or we come together with the leadership of the church and we trust the leadership of the church to help us to think right. We don't run it through our own thinking that says, can't trust man. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent, not at this juncture. That's the old way of thinking. The old way of thinking is you have to be your ultimate decision maker and authority. That's not what God says. Closing thought. In order to stand fast in the Lord, we must practice what we have learned and received and heard and seen from God via the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. In order to stand fast, first of all, we have to have Holy Spirit in us. We've got to be saved. First, we have to have that. And then we receive, and once we receive the Holy Spirit, we will receive the Holy Scriptures. And then we will practice habitually what we learn in here, what we hear in here, what we see in others as they live out this faith. If I was Paul Wash, I would tell you all, some of you stop listening to me. Because you listen to me, you hear it, and you won't do it. When we are doers and not just hearers, then the peace of God will be with us. There's your proof text. Do you have peace in all things? If you don't, then you're just a hearer, not a doer. Are you at peace in your trials and struggles? Are you praying thankfulness to God, thinking in a godly way, and practicing the things you are taught in Scripture? This week, these aren't really written that well, but this week I would encourage you to go to the closing thought and consider that. Consider that, those questions. Ponder those questions. Some of you this morning are being irritated and agitated onto love and good works, to more holiness. Praise God. That's what the Scriptures say they will do. They will irritate and agitate us on, they will spur us on to love and good works. We will change and we will be irritated a little bit and we won't like it a little bit and this is really difficult and we will change. Some of you can't have peace because there is no peace. They say peace, peace when there is no peace. Like Shane yesterday. You can't have peace because you're separated from God. Because you love your sin. Because you don't see it as all that bad. Because you think you're relatively a good person. Whatever it is you think. And just like Shane, and just like me, and just like everyone, you will stand to be judged. And you will see there is no peace. You may try to count on your righteous acts. You may try to be a good person. And there is no peace in your righteous acts. You don't have the peace of God. I beg you to repent and turn from your sin. Stop loving yourself. Stop loving the way you think. Hate it like God hates it. Think like God thinks. Come under the finished work of Jesus Christ. Come under that authority in your life. Because some of you can't have peace. And if you are one of those who says, you know, Pastor, I'm a member of this church and I've been baptized and you think I'm saved, Pastor, but I have no peace ever. And I am characterized by the same practices I used to do, just a little cleaned up. Then you need to repent. And you need to test yourselves because you're not right with God. I am not going to preach peace where there is no peace. But the Bible preaches the peace of God and it tells us how we will have the peace of God, how we obtain that. And we will obtain that by doing the things we hear. Living the way the apostles lived. See, by God's grace, I won't be an unbelief. I will not have unbelief ever again in my relationship with people. I will not have a 17-year relationship with someone that I do not preach the gospel to. It will not happen by the grace of God. Because I was on autopilot every time Shane came to mind or I saw him. Apparently. Father, you are holy. Holy. You will be found just when you judge. Father, I lift up every single soul in here today to you. That your word would be sharp and cutting and show people their true condition. Father, for your people this morning, that we would be recognizing our sin. Father, we would obey the commands that you've given us. We would live out Philippians 3:17 through 4:9. We would live that just like you're commanding us to. And we would stop with our old way of thinking. Father, that we would be more equipped to go out and preach the gospel, to call sinners to repentance, that your kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. And that only occurs through our sanctification and the salvation of your people who aren't yet saved. That we could just see your glory, Father. Father, change our minds. Cause us to desire. Father, we will desire. We will hunger and thirst for righteousness. We will want to devour your word and hide it in our hearts so we may not sin against you. Will your people, God, that your people would do that today. That they are being convicted right now unto change that results in your profit. And the change is for Christ's sake. Amen.